Hi, I'm Shannon Riley. I'm a professional organizer, ADHD coach, and therapeutic yoga teacher. And this is Beyond the Checklist, a podcast for neurodivergent folks who are tired of one-size-fits-all advice. Around here, we honor how your brain really works, whether we're talking about creating calmer spaces, building focus, or learning to rest. This is a place for practical tools, honest stories, and permission to do things differently. Let's make space for what matters in your home, in your time, and in yourself. Hello, and welcome back to Beyond the Checklist. Today, we're going to talk about something really close to my heart, and that is yoga for neurodiversity. Perhaps you're neurodivergent yourself, maybe ADHD, autistic, sensory sensitive, or you have students or friends or clients who are. Maybe you've tried yoga before and thought, this just isn't for me. The lights were too bright, the music was too overwhelming, or the pace felt rushed and confusing. Or maybe you're a yoga teacher who wants to make sure your classes are more inclusive for neurodivergent students, but you're not sure where to start. We're going to dig into a few things in this episode. Why yoga can be an incredible tool for neurodivergent nervous systems. What makes typical yoga spaces inaccessible for neurodivergent folks. What neurodivergent-friendly, sensory-aware yoga really looks like, and how teachers can better support neurodivergent students in their classes. At the end, I'll share a little bit more about my Yoga for Neurodiversity class, as well as the resources I have for yoga teachers in teaching neurodivergent students. It's designed for people who want a supportive practice, and for teachers who want to deepen their understanding. Take a breath with me, settle in, and let's begin. Yoga has a reputation for being calming. But if you're neurodivergent, you might have a complicated relationship with stillness, with movement, or even with your body. For many neurodivergent folks, the nervous system is either overstimulated, constantly in fight or flight, or maybe even understimulated, craving input just to feel present. Yoga, when it's taught in a way that honors the nervous system, can actually help regulate these extremes. And here's why. It helps to build body awareness. For people who live a lot in their heads, yoga can reconnect you to physical sensations in a safe, non-judgmental way. It offers predictable movement. Neurodivergent brains often thrive on structure, so sequences like sun salutations become familiar and can be grounding over time. It gives tools for self-regulation. Breathwork, simple movement, or even just laying in stillness with intentional awareness. These are ways to soothe an overwhelmed nervous system. It honors autonomy. Yoga can be adapted in a million ways. There is no right way, and neurodivergent students often find relief in that flexibility when it's taught in a truly supportive environment. Here's the key, though. It has to be presented in a way that's truly accessible. And unfortunately, many mainstream yoga spaces aren't. Let's be real. A lot of yoga studios are sensory minefields. Lighting, sound, language, touch, social pressure. The lighting, it could be bright overhead fluorescent or super dim candlelight, and both can be disorienting. Sound, loud music, overlapping chatter, or echoey spaces can overwhelm sensory sensitive students. Language. Some teachers use abstract or overly metaphorical cueing, or maybe they're even using Sanskrit, like shine your heart or feel the energy of the room, which can be confusing or alienating. Hands-on adjustments without clear consent can be really triggering, especially for trauma survivors or autistic students with tactile sensitivities. And social pressure. There's often an unspoken expectation to perform, keep up with the class, or fit into the yoga student mold. If you've ever walked into a yoga class and thought, nope, not for me, it's probably not you. It's really the environment. And there's good news in that. There is a way to make yoga inclusive for neurodivergent students. Here's what it looks like. What does a neurodivergent-friendly yoga space actually feel like? It's predictable, but flexible. There's a structure that helps reduce anxiety, but there's also permission to adapt. You can take breaks. You can opt out. When I'm teaching a class, I tend to go have my flow, right? We always start in kind of a restorative, centering way. We move into a little bit of gentle movement. Maybe we do some sun salutations, and then we move into our flow, and we tend to repeat that a couple of times, and then we'll bring it down. And I always say, take breaks. If what I share doesn't work or is not feeling good in your body, feel free to do something different. If you want to lay in Shavasana, which is just the final resting pose, lay down the whole class. If you want to stay in child's pose, that's fine. These spaces are also sensory aware, so the lighting is softer, the music is optional or really gentle, and props like weighted blankets or bolsters are readily available for comfort. They're clear and direct. Cues are simple and specific. Lift your arms up overhead instead of something overly poetic or ambiguous. It's choice-based. There's no hierarchy of good or bad poses. Every option is valid, and students are reminded that they don't have to do everything. Instead of the teacher offering options like, oh, if coming to the full expression of this pose, here's what it looks like. No, it's, we're all going to start here. If you want to do something different, do it this way. So just really mindful of the language. And of course, it's consent-centered. Touch is always an opt-in. Teachers never assume what a student needs. I'm not big on adjustments as a teacher. It's just my personal preference. But I'll, of course, help when I can see that a student is struggling and maybe they need a prop and they're not thinking that they need that prop. So I'll offer it to them and set them up so they're a little bit more comfortable. But I tend to not adjust students unless they're regular students. If you walk into my class and it's the first time you've come to my class, I'm not going to touch you unless it's a small adjustment like providing a prop or checking in with you. For neurodivergent students, this can be the first time yoga actually feels safe. It becomes a space where they can finally relax their nervous system instead of masking or forcing themselves to fit in. Let's move into a few tips for teachers who are supporting neurodivergent students. If you're a yoga teacher, you might be wondering, okay, so how do I actually create a space like this? A few starting points. Keep your cues simple. Instead of expand your heart like a blooming flower, say, inhale, lift your chest slightly. Clear language reduces cognitive load. Normalize choice. Offer options without pressure. For example, you can stay seated here, or if you'd like, you can try this standing version, really offering that choice and normalizing it so they're not feeling like one option is better than the other, because it's not. Be mindful of sensory input. Pay attention to lighting, temperature, even the texture of mats and blankets can matter. Offer quiet space. Let students know that they can step out, sit down, or lie still at any time. It's their practice. I'll often share in my speaking in a class too, if I'm going to be silent for a while. I would say more so when I'm on Zoom, because I think it's harder to read, you know, what's happening. But I'll say, I'm still here. I'm going to be quiet for a few minutes while you hang out in this pose. Because I know I've been in a Zoom yoga class where it got really quiet and I thought maybe my connection went out or something, or I froze, but it actually was just the teacher being silent. Educate yourself as a teacher. learn about sensory processing, executive function challenges, and trauma-informed teaching. There's a lot of really awesome trauma-informed teacher trainings out there. There are ones that are specific to certain populations. I've taken one that was targeted towards veterans. I've taken one that was targeted towards domestic violence survivors. And I've also taken one that's a little bit more general. So there's a lot of really great options out there. When teachers make these small but powerful shifts, it not only supports the neurodivergent students, it can make yoga feel better for everyone. Here's the biggest takeaway. Yoga can be deeply supportive for neurodivergent students, but only when it's taught in a way that truly honors their unique nervous systems, sensory needs, and autonomy. And I promise you, teaching in this way, you're likely going to have a mixed classroom in terms of student, in terms of neurodivergent or neurotypical, and also just different levels of practice with how long they've been doing yoga, whatever it might be. I promise all of these things are really going to help everyone. They're not only targeting the neurodivergent population, but it's also good for the new yoga student who has never taken a yoga class and comes into your classroom. The person who maybe had a really long day, and when you use that overly descriptive language, it feels hard to think about, okay, wait, what did she mean by that? It's helpful to everyone. And this is why I created my Yoga for Neurodiversity class. So actually a few reasons, and I'm happy to share why. So this is the niche, as you maybe have figured out, is I work with neurodivergent people, whether that's through yoga, organizing, or coaching. And I'm also in a long yoga training program, and I have to do case studies and a thesis, and I want to study yoga for neurodiversity. I want to study these tools that I'm sharing with you and really put them into practice and use that as a way to see what really works for neurodivergent students. So this is why I created this Yoga for Neurodiversity class, which I'm really excited to offer for the first time in the fall. It's 2025, just note on when you're listening to this, but my hope is that I will offer this as an ongoing offer, and it will be online. And it's really designed for neurodivergent students who want a safe, sensory-aware space to explore yoga in a way that feels good for you. It can also be beneficial for yoga teachers who want to learn how to better support neurodivergent students in their own classes. We'll explore gentle movement, nervous system regulation tools, and strategies that can center around consent, choice, and accessibility. If you've been craving a practice or a way to teach that finally feels aligned with neurodivergent needs, I would love for you to join me. All of the details are on my website, and I'm going to link it in the show notes as well. This is definitely open for yoga students as well as yoga teachers. But if you're a yoga teacher, I also have a yoga toolkit about teaching yoga for neurodivergent students, and it has a ton of practices in there. It has a little bit of the science around it. And I had a really awesome time creating this resource. So I hope you'll take a look at it. Again, I'll link all of this in the show notes so you do not have to go search for it yourself. But I hope that this was really helpful for you. If it resonated, please share it with a friend, a fellow teacher, or anyone who could benefit. Thanks so much for being here today. Remember, yoga isn't about doing more or being better. It's about finding what supports you and your nervous system exactly as you are. Can't wait for next time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Beyond the Checklist. If something from today's episode resonated with you, I would love for you to share it, subscribe, or leave a review. It helps more people find the support they deserve. Take what you need, leave what you don't, and remember, you're doing the best you can, and that's enough. Until next time, keep making space for what matters in your home, your time, and yourself.